Last week in Brooklyn, a camp went to a field trip in a park. When they come back, they discover that a 6-year-old boy is missing. Fine, they reported the police, they start to look for him. The police started to look, they need volunteers. Volunteers came, more volunteers. The hours are passing.
This is an Orthodox camp?
An Orthodox camp, yes.
Chabad?
No, not Chabad, thank God. But it's a nightmare of every camp director, I can tell you that. Then, and this guy they're looking for the kid, more volunteers, the hours at 6 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock. And they don't say, and it's getting dark. And the weather says the weather is going to turn. It's going to rain. 9:20, they found this boy Yosef Shapiro. The minute that they found him, it started to rain, pouring, not raining, a torrential rain. It was crazy. And they put him in the ambulance. No, it was Wednesday. They put him in the ambulance, and the whole crowd started to dance. They were so excited that they found him.
Was he okay?
He was okay. I was just scratch here, scratch there. He was okay. He was. They found him a half unconscious. It was like weak and this. It was not answering. The next day, I interviewed on the news, and one of the podcasts raised was they interviewed the guy who actually found him. His name is Victor Shine. Victor said he saw on the social media that a boy was lost. And they asked for volunteers and asked to say Tehillim, to pray for him. Mm-hmm. He said Tehillim, he prayed for him, and then he wanted to move on. Then he saw they're looking for more volunteers. He thought to himself, he's already a guy in his 60s, probably late 60s. He just married off his baby. He will leave it for the young guys. But then a minute later, he thought to himself, he has a grandson who is 6 years old.
Right.
He thought to himself, and everybody loves him. He has such a cute grandson. He goes on to speak how cute his grandson is. And he says, what would be if it be my grandson?
Right.
He says, that moment, this Yosef Shapiro became his grandson. The moment he became his grandson, there was no questions. He took a flashlight and a few other stuff with him, and he gets in the car and he's driving to the park. Mm-hmm. He arrives there. There is a command center. They tell him, wait here, we'll form another group and we'll tell you where to go. They're directing where everybody should go. But he was restless. He couldn't wait. He decided he's going on his own. Goes on his own, goes into the park, starts to walk, and his cell phone has the picture of the child. Anybody who meets in the park says, if you saw this kid, call 911. He goes a little deeper. He meets another volunteer. They pair up, it's better to go together. He goes for an hour and 45 minutes. It's getting dark. And he said to himself, I'm not a youngster. I cannot do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going back. And let other people continue. He's going back. The way back, by himself, he goes back. He sees a dirt path that goes into the woods. Mm-hmm. He decided to take one dirt path to check before he's going home. Mm-hmm. He goes in, and it's silent, dead silent. And before he went around, he screamed, Yosef, I have pizza for you. He tried to get into the head of a 6-year-old boy. What would make him excited? He screams, Yosef, Yosef. Suddenly he hears a voice, a child's voice, ta. Mm-hmm. One voice, one sound. He looks back. He sees another volunteer 20 feet back. He looks and says, did you hear that too? He says, yeah, I heard that. The other guy asked him, did you hear that? He says, yeah, I heard that. They call again, Yosef, Yosef, nothing. The other guy runs straight in to look for it. In the bush, he said it was full of mud and full of, these places right. Are not yeah. Not exciting.
Yeah, it's right by Jamaica Bay.
Oh, you know where it is. I don't.
It was anything, yeah, I used to ride my bike.
In any case, he instead called, he knew a detective in the New York Police Department that was involved in this. He calls them, the guy doesn't answer, calls them, finally answers, tells them, I hear the voice. Mm-hmm. He says, where are you? She sent them on a GPS, where you are? He didn't know how to do it, somebody helped him. Then they took him 50 minutes, they arrived a crew arrived with a big truck with projectors. Mm-hmm. They look for him. He decided at this point, he says, now they are busy. They will look for him. I can go. He starts to go back. He hears singing.
Okay.
They found the boy. They found him under the, you know, in a beam, under a marsh, you know. Yeah. He was laying there half asleep. You know, the kid didn't eat from, at least from 2 o'clock. A little scratched. Pure miracle. No other word for it. You know, when you look for this boy, you start thinking, maybe he was kidnapped. You know how many kids are kidnapped?
Right.
Who knows what happened to this boy?
Right.
He was found completely healthy. It's a huge miracle. There is no word for it. And you know, the whole religious community, all Jewish community, under the volunteers were celebrating and excited about it. Then it was amazing. Then I was thinking in the parsha of this week, this parsha has many mitzvahs, I think 67 mitzvahs. One of the, where in the beginning there is a story about a rebellious son. Rebellious son is a boy who is 13 years old and he's drinking a lot of wine and he's eating a lot of meat. He's binging and boozing.
Okay.
And he needs the money, and what is he doing when he doesn't have enough money? He steals from his parents.
Okay.
It's in Deuteronomy.
Okay. No idea where. That's a pen.
Near
the end.
Here it is. The parents have a job. They have to take him to the Jewish court, to the Beit Din, hold him by the hand, grasp him, take him to the court, and tell the judges, this son, they have to point the finger, this son that you can see him, this son is a rebellious son. He doesn't listen to us. He's eating and drinking wine and eating meat. And the court will punish him. Comes the Talmud and says an amazing statement on this line in the Bible. It says you have to the parents have to grasp him and take him to the court, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that both parents have to have two hands. Yeah? They cannot. Walking him to the court, it means that both parents cannot be handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
Strange. They have to say to the court, it means they cannot be mute. They have to point at the finger, this son, you should be able to see him. It means they cannot be blind. Say, he is not listening to us. That means they cannot be deaf.
Right.
If one of these problems, if they are handicapped, deaf, mute, or blind, they cannot blame the rebellious son. He cannot be punished. Very interesting thing. And you read it and you ask yourself, because the parents are missing a finger, he's facing his foot or a toenail. What does this mean? Therefore, the son is not taking responsibility for his behavior. He's a misogynist. He's a criminal. He's going to end up as a criminal. He's already a criminal. It's a matter of time before he gets into jail. Why should, because the parents are not complete, the son should not be taking responsibility for his behavior, be held accountable for his behavior? The answer is, it's a message to the parents. The Torah is asking, what is wrong? How could a good child become a criminal? What happened there? Did the parents saw? Maybe they were blind when he came home and he was depressed and he was hanging out with the wrong group of kids. They were blind. They were busy with many things, with business, with a career, with volunteering, with fixing the world, tikkun olam, but they didn't look at their own child. Maybe they were deaf. He told them things. He said, I have words here, I have words there. But they didn't hear him. Are they handicapped? They don't have two hands? Who is holding the steering wheel in this house?
Mm-hmm.
Who is paving the way with his foot in this house?
Mm-hmm.
If they are handicapped in one way or another, don't blame the boy. It's the parents' fault. That's why we cannot take it there and I cannot keep him accountable. A normal, healthy child doesn't become a criminal just out of nowhere.
Right.
Somebody did not pay attention on the road.
Right.
The means to say nobody heard his cry. Nobody heard his call, Ta. Before Rosh Hashanah, we are coming up to Rosh Hashanah. There is a, the Baal Shem Tov explains, what is Rosh Hashanah? What is the blowing of the shofar? He gives a parable of a son of a king. A king had a son. Only one child, very smart. And he became an adult. He said he wants to go to tour the world. And his father says, yeah, go around, learn other cultures, become educated. Yeah, why not? He gave him money, he gave him everything. He's on the road. He goes, he's wandering from one country to the other. He came to Africa. He liked it. The people live simply. Everybody's one family. He liked it. He joined the crowd. Okay. Lived there for many years. After 20 years, he learned the language, everything. After 20 years, he decided, suddenly he started to miss his father. And his parents, he started to miss them more and more. And he decided he's going back home. His friends gave him money, he's traveling back home. He travels, arrives to this country, he arrives to his city. He comes to this father's palace. He wants to go in. See, what's your name, mister? I'm the son. The guy's completely off the ball. He's dressed like somebody who came from Africa. He doesn't even remember the language well. They pushed away, you're shogun, I'll get alive. Every week we have somebody else says he's a king's son.
Right.
He started to cry and scream, father, father. The father happened to be on the porch. And he could hear the screaming and he ran out to hug him. The Baal Shem Tov says, that's what happened to the Jews. We go, God sends a soul to the world. And we get lost. We get lost big time. And then comes Rosh Hashanah, we remember our father in heaven. We miss him. We go back to shul. We want to get away. But he forgot the language. He don't even know how to read. But then we start to give a cry. Ah, God, help us. Father, help us. And the father listens to our voice. And he opens the door and he embraces us. You know when the father listens to our son? By God, it's all measure for measure. When we will listen to an outcry of another child who says, Ta, short for Tati, father, daddy, then God will listen to our cry. Every one of us knows five Jews who are not going to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Not many, but five. Mm-hmm. One because he doesn't have time, the other one because he doesn't will. We can even remind them. Forget about inviting them to the house. Now with COVID, you cannot invite anybody. We'll give them a PCR test before that. And we'll give him a phrase. But we can call him and tell him and wish him a Shana Tova. Just to remind him, Rosh Hashanah, send them a card, Hepel Anani. We can reach out to people. Everybody knows a nephew or a great nephew who doesn't go to Hebrew school. Give him a connection. Everyone has to listen to the outcry of the Neshome. Mm-hmm. You see, there is an outcry. Sometimes when you're sleeping, you think you're screaming and nobody hears you. Mm-hmm. The same thing is when a person is... Or, you know, when unconscious, mm-hmm. you scream, you're sitting in the hospital, somebody is sick, he's screaming, but nobody hears him. In his mind, he's screaming, he has no strength to his voice. The Neshome cries out for help, for spiritual help. We have to be not deaf, not mute, and not blind, and not handicapped. And we will not be deaf, God will not be deaf to our cry and give us, when we scream, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, he will give us a good ear.